Good morning, brothers and sisters. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good to be here this morning already. I was blessed with a lot of the songs that come forth this morning were a blessing to me. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. And Jesus, our joy of living. And one of the last ones we sang, there's... can't read my own writing. Oh, I come to the fountain of every blessing. I like that last line, fixed on the mount of his redeeming love. Our gaze fixed on the mount, our heart set on the mount of his redeeming love. And come ye sinners, poor and needy. Come ye saints, poor and needy this morning. I was blessed with the verse there in John that Sally shared. You know, Jesus truly is the only one that gives life, and he's the only one that is sufficient to keep us today as well. He gave us life, and he's the only one that's able to keep giving us life and to keep us today. Thank you, Brother Alvey, for that verse there in Psalm 105, to remember his marvelous works that he hath done and his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. To remember the marvelous works that he hath done. And the thoughts you shared there in 2 Timothy, those are always very powerful scriptures of being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the verse there, it says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Thank you, Furman, for the children's lesson on Jesus' teaching on how to be kind one to another. I was richly blessed this morning with everything that was shared. And what I have to share this morning is very elementary and simple, but it's what the Lord gave me. It's out of a few verses that have been dear and special to us, just on the provision and the promises of God to his children. We'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll get started. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Eternal Father, we pause in your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your divine blessing upon us again today, Lord, allowing us to gather in this manner. We thank you, Father, for your love to each one of us this morning. We think this morning of our brothers in Laos and the families and the wife back here as well, Lord. We ask you to continue to pour your grace upon them. Be with them. Grant them a good night of rest over there, Lord, as they're probably going to bed about now. Help them to be surrendered to your will as they rise in the morning and go in for questioning, Lord, that they would not worry about how to answer, but to just trust and rely on you, Lord, and your Holy Spirit, and giving them the words that they need to speak to the questions that will be brought to them. So, Father, we commit this next portion of time into your hands, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to edit those things that you would not want me to say, and make clear the things that you do want me to share, Lord. And just pray, Father, for your anointing and blessing, and for you to have your will and way. I pray, Father, against the enemy, of our souls, Lord, the one that would love to bring discouragement and fear and all those things into our hearts and lives. I pray against him this morning in Jesus' name that you'd keep him bound, Lord, that he wouldn't hinder your work in anyone's heart here this morning. We thank you and we love you and just commit this next portion of time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. There's maybe a few more here than it was here last Sunday, but we still have a lot of sickness going around. Probably many, several that are not here because of sick children and sick themselves. That sickness can be expected because we live in a fallen world that's full of trouble. I know that all of us face storms and difficulties in life, and the enemy, he wants to bring us down. He's not interested in any of us making it, but rather his total goal is to discourage and to make us feel overwhelmed and be overwhelmed by fear or whatever it may be. John says that he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And perhaps some of you have faced storms and turbulent waters this week, maybe battling discouragement or fear, etc., whatever your battles may be. I thought of the team in Laos and what they may be facing as they're being detained there by the police for the work of Christ and the turmoil that the enemy would love to bring into their lives and tempt them with, as well as I thought of the mothers and fathers back here and the wife. I'm sure there were many battles of being tempted with thoughts of fear and what will the outcome be and on and on. But the saints have been praying, and we have a Savior that cares and knows what each one of us is facing this morning. And I'm sure at one time or another, we've all faced the storm of fear or the turbulent waters of discouragement. Maybe something has come against you, and it's hard for you to accept or understand where it comes from or where it came from. Well, God has a word for us this morning here in Isaiah 43. A few verses. God was very specific to his people as he spoke to them through the prophet Isaiah. Excuse me. This word is for us this morning. Isaiah 43, I'm just going to read the first three verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that have formed thee, O Israel. This is what God says to us this morning. Thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and has formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. In these verses, God is telling God is telling the Jewish people that he'll be with them in their most troubling times, supporting them through their trials, giving them strength to move beyond these trials and deliver them. We know the story there. The Jewish people were in captivity in Babylon. They faced many afflictions and were persecuted there by men, which here the waters, river, and fire is represented by that. And in spite of their disobedience to him, God told them not to fear. They should not fear because he has redeemed them. God will continue his love and care for them. In Ephesians 2, there's a verse that says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He hath created us, and he surely will care for his creation if we turn to him. So, we're talking about storms and troubles we face. You know, first of all, God wanted them to know that he was in charge. He wanted his people that were going through hardship and difficulty to know that he was their God. And we need to know this morning that we have the same God. And he's saying this word to us this morning. "Now thus saith the Lord that hath created thee. Fear not." "Thus saith the Lord." We have the same God that they had back then. And it's impossible for him to lie. Hebrews 6 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. To lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. This is Jesus Christ. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." Jesus is our hope this morning. He's our only hope. He's the anchor of our soul. Our hope is not in this life, but it's in the life to come. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And I had to think, our hope is not in fixing or solving a problem. We don't hope in fixing or solving a problem, but our hope instead is in the confidence that God is with us and that he will carry us through the storms somehow. There's a verse in Hebrews 10 that says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." We've all had experiences where God showed himself strong in a situation in our lives, and he wants us to remember that. But on top of that, we have his word this morning, which tells us how he brought the Israelites across the Red Sea on dry land. And we read of Jesus calming the storm and bringing the disciples safely across. We read of him coming out, and they woke him up in the boat there, and the storm was raging, and he says, "Peace, be still." So, we have, there's many other examples of God's faithful deliverance that should give us confidence in God this morning. And this hope, this confidence is the anchor of the soul. And just a few thoughts on anchor this morning is designed to dig in. The more tension it gets to it, the more it digs in. I should have brought a picture of an anchor, but an anchor, the way it's designed, it has a couple prongs. There's a couple different designs, but when it goes down and these fingers, the more it gets pulled on, the more these things will dig in when they drop an anchor for a ship. And it'll hold, they still use anchors today to hold big aircraft carriers, even in the midst of storms. And just to give a picture of an anchor, the current U.S. aircraft carrier, on it there are two of them that weigh 30,000 pounds each. The chain links are 2 foot long. They weigh 136 pounds apiece, and the chain is 1,440 foot long. So I estimated that the chain alone would weigh about 97,000 pounds, almost 50 ton. And so with both anchors and the chains, they weigh around 250,000 pounds to hold a 1,092-foot ship with 5,500 crew members on board and 75 aircrafts on board at a cost of $12.9 billion. So just to give a picture, those two anchors, yeah, they're tremendous weight, but in comparison to the ship, this 30,000-pound anchors are not that big. So they have a lot of faith in those anchors. They have a lot of faith in those anchors. Those anchors are supposed to hold that ship, hold that big aircraft carrier in place so that planes can land and take off. Well, those anchors are very massive and impressive, as we just read here. But they could fail. A link could break, or many things could go wrong. But our anchor this morning cannot fail. Our anchor this morning cannot fail in Jesus Christ. It's sure and steadfast, it says. And we just read that God cannot lie. The word sure means safe, firm, certain, and definite. Our anchor is safe, firm, sure, or certain, and definite this morning. And the word steadfast just simply means more sure. So that anchor is sure. It was safe, firm, certain, and definite. Well, then it's more safe, more firm, more certain, and more definite. So Brother Dan asked for a title. So for a title, I would call it Jesus, Our Anchor in Times of Storms. But just as that anchor, those anchors on that ship, they're unseen. They're way down on the ocean floor. Our hope, the same way, our hope in Jesus, our hope is not in this world. It's not seen. Our hope is by faith in the Word of God and the promises of God. We take them by faith this morning, and that hope is an anchor for our soul. It is what keeps our soul in the right place. No matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, we must not worry. Our anchor is down deep, hooked onto hope in Jesus Christ. And the hope we have is an anchor of the soul that keeps us steady and calm through the storms and trials of life. We are, this morning, His purchased possession. A few verses in Ephesians, it says, "In whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." I'll read on a few verses. "Wherefore also, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus has universal dominion this morning. As I think we think of our brothers in Laos, he's far above all the principalities and the powers and the that may be there. He's far above. And to think that we can have him who is far above, he exceeds in greatness of all kings that ever lived. He's our anchor this morning. Hope in him is the anchor of our soul. It is sure and more sure and more sure. He has universal dominion. And we can rest this morning that we are his purchased possession. These are just some thoughts and scriptures the Lord gave me as I was seeking this week. I was actually planning to share something out of Corinthians, and the Lord took it this direction. But so I don't have long. But this hope in Jesus is our anchor. No matter what part of the world we're in, no matter what side of the globe we're on, or where we're at, it's still our anchor. And Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." I thought of the brothers in Laos. Were told last week by the police that they'll be released the next day through the embassy there. They were told, well, they're going to release you tomorrow. And the next day came, and then it changed to they'll release you tomorrow. And it was a false hope. It's a false hope. But the hope in Jesus this morning that's based upon the promises in the Word of God is a sure and steadfast anchor. You know, thank God our hope is not in this world, but it's rooted in a constant, faithful God and his promises. And our peace and joy is not dependent upon the circumstances. Our peace and joy is not dependent upon circumstances. This hope we have in Christ is not some loose thing we flaunt around. But it means that we're living righteously and expectantly in the power of the Holy Spirit. This hope is living righteously and expectantly in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, God wanted them, here in Isaiah, God wanted them to understand that he was their God. As we read there in verse 1, he wanted them to understand that he was their God. And their anchor. He tells them, going on, he tells them to fear not. There's nothing that any of us need to be fearing or afraid of this morning. It may be hard for us to understand or accept our situation this morning, but I want us to see that God was very clear here. He said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Thou art mine." He knows your name. For the Christian this morning, he owns us twice. We see there that he formed us, He created us. And then it says, redeemed us. So not, he created us, he made us, then redeemed us from sin and destruction. He made us and he bought us. Made us and bought us back. We read there, until the redemption of the purchased possession. He made us, he bought us back. And there will be a redemption one day of the purchased possession. And the Bible says that fear hath torment. I didn't search this myself, but I read that it's written some 365 times in the Bible, either fear not, be not afraid, or be very courageous. And we have the story of the disciples in Mark 6. Jesus come walking on the water, and he says he saw them toiling and rowing. They were toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And it says, when he went up unto them in the ship, and the winds ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. They were sore amazed. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And as he stepped into their boat, the wind ceased. They marveled. They were amazed. The storms obey him. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Revelations 2:10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Fear none of those things, he says. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. That was just a touch on a few verses on fear, but there are a lot more that we could go to and could be shared on this morning. But sometimes fear comes like a storm, and it wants to overtake us because maybe something happens that was not part of our plans. Something happens that's not part of our plans, and fear wants to overtake us. It wants to overwhelm us. But I just want to encourage us this morning not to fear what may come. Not to fear what may come against us or the things that may have already happened to you. I want us to know this morning that God is on our side, and no matter what comes our way, Jesus has already faced it. He's already been there. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we, yet without sin. No matter what you're facing or what you will face, Jesus has been there before you. And the next verse says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because he was tempted in all points, because Jesus has been there before us, we can come boldly, confidently. That word boldly means confidently. We may not feel very bold in terms of this world, but we have confidence that our Savior has been there and he understands. And we can come to his throne and find grace to help in time of need. Then in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, he says, "For wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." But God is faithful. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, and will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." And on to verse 2 there in Isaiah 43, he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Notice here that it says, "through the waters," when thou passest through the waters. We need to understand this morning, as a Christian, it's not if we face trials, but when. It's not if we face trials, but when. It's important to be convinced that storms and turbulent waters are going to come our way. Sometimes we're shocked by all the things that come, just as the team in Laos being detained was unexpected. Maybe some faced turbulent thoughts from the enemy this week, like what if, and imagining the worst, and fear wants to set in. Some in here have faced unexpected health issues, and there's a lot of sickness going around. But the text doesn't say, "when you walk on lush padded carpet, I'll be with you." It doesn't say, "when you're walking in comfort, I'll be with you." But that God will be with us in the toughest circumstances. Trials vary. Sometimes we wade in shallow waters. Maybe it's ankle deep. Sometimes it's knee deep. Sometimes it's a turbulent river. And sometimes there's fire. Floods will overwhelm us, but fires consume. And 1 Peter, it says, "Think it not strange." Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Then Jesus said in John 16, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And 2 Timothy 3 says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Then we have the verse in 1 Peter 4, it says, "For so much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." So the Lord wanted us to clearly understand this morning and know that we're going to face storms and we're going to be attacked. But the blessing is, this too shall pass. It says, "when you pass through the water," when you pass through. He will see us through to the other side. We will get to the other side. So whether it's whatever difficulties you may face, whether it's financial, relationship problems, or an ongoing battle of the mind, God tells his children here that he will see them through and that the turbulent water is not going to drown us. Fiery trial is not going to consume us. He's going to hold back the waves, and he's going to keep the flames from burning us. We have the story in Daniel. I thought I would read a few verses of the three Hebrew men Daniel 3, starting in verse 22, he says, "Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.' Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." They didn't even, their hair wasn't singed, their coats hadn't changed, there was no smell of fire, they didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing that the fire will consume is what the world puts on us. It burnt the ropes off. That's the only thing that burnt off of them, was their ropes that were bound. It burnt their ropes off. But God knows just how much heat it takes this morning to melt away the dross in our lives, and what it takes to conform us to the image of his Son. In 1 Peter 5, verse 10, he says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen, establish, settle you." So if you're facing turbulent waters and fiery trials, think of this verse. God is wanting to, it's, the suffering is only going to be a while. It says here, after you have suffered a while, God's wanting to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And he promised to be with us through all of that. He's not going to let us be consumed by the fire or drowned by the waters. The things that God allows to come our way, they're never meant to destroy us, but to get us where we need to be. So the things that God allows in our lives are not meant to destroy us, but to make us better. Look at Daniel 3, verse 30. "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." After trying to burn them alive, the Lord come in, spared them in the midst of that fire. He calls them out and then promotes them in the province of Babylon. We may not get a promotion in this world, but if we faithfully and joyfully endure, we will experience a promotion of peace that passeth understanding. We're promised a peace that passeth understanding. So you may be in some type of fiery furnace this morning, but I like to think as Jesus was walking around those Hebrew men, those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, says they were walking around, and I picture Jesus walking around just keeping the flames off of them from touching them. So he does for his children today. It may get hot, but he'll hold back the flames. I'm not trying to paint a picture this morning that we will just always be miraculously delivered every time, because we know many of our forefathers were burned at stake, but yet the fire didn't consume them. It may have consumed and burnt their physical bodies, but it could not, it couldn't burn their soul, or it couldn't burn their peace away. It couldn't steal that. It couldn't consume the peace of God, because their hope and their anchor was down in Jesus. Romans tells us that all things work together for the good to those that love God. I know sometimes we tend to think selfishly and wondering, you know, when things happen, how is my situation, how is it good for me? We look at it for ourselves, and it always is for our good. We may not see it at the time, but the bigger picture is it's for the good of the kingdom of God. We have the story of John the Baptist in prison that we read, where he was questioning if Jesus was really the one. He sent his disciples, and he was questioning if Jesus was he really the one. He's sitting there in prison, and he was the forerunner of Christ, and he even baptized Jesus, and maybe he was still looking for this earthly kingdom. I don't know. But Jesus told John's disciples to go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And then he said these words in Luke there, verse 7, or Luke 7, verse 23. Then he said, and he's telling them to tell John this: to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. We can find ourselves being offended at God sometimes when things happen, asking, why, Lord? We can ask why, or going through a battle and you may be asking the Lord, how long? I don't know how long I can face this. I can't take this anymore. Or, you know, why, God? Jesus is simply saying, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Faithfully and joyfully endure a little longer. We know that John ended up getting beheaded in prison, but he wasn't consumed. It got recorded in here, and we're still reading and benefiting from John's life and teaching today. So it was for the benefit and the furtherance of the kingdom of God. I don't have a lot more. There's a verse in Psalms 37. It says, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. He says, I am young, now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Jesus promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised he'd be with us even to the end of the earth. In verse in Philippians, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our sure anchor this morning. We can trust him. And the promises in his word, when the storms and turbulent waters will come our way. You know, the enemy, he likes to surprise his prey. Likes to pounce on his prey. Sometimes that's how he comes into our lives, as a as a surprise, you know, totally unexpected. But we can rest this morning knowing that if our anchor is in Jesus, our hope is in Him, in His sure word, you know, our God is never surprised. He's never surprised by what comes our way. He's never overtaken by a circumstance. He's always in perfect control. So, again, I'll just reread those verses. But thus saith the Lord, this is what God says to us this morning. That created thee, O Jacob. He hath formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom and Ethiopian Seba for thee. I have just a, in closing here, a little testimony on the faithful persistence of God in these verses that I just read. Many of you have probably heard this, but there's many new faces here since then. But almost 9 years ago, one morning on May the 18th, I woke up with these verses in Isaiah 43 going through my mind. So I looked them up, and they spoke to my heart, and they excited my heart. Anyway, that evening, it was on a Monday evening. That evening, we went to the hospital to visit someone that was up there with cancer. And I found myself sharing on these verses in the lobby that night. And there was another dear brother from here that was visiting them that night as well. 3 days later was the afternoon on Thursday. It was the afternoon of the accident of our four daughters. That evening, after sitting back in the ICU for 3.5 hours, waiting to see which of the girls that were still with us, we went out into the lobby where we were met by a sea of brothers and sisters. I think everyone was there. but I say that when we come out through those doors, and there's probably most of the church was there. And out of all the people that were there, the Lord had my eyes go across the room to the far corner and seen the brother that was there that previous Monday evening. And the Lord used that to bring those verses to my mind. Of all the people that was there, my eyes saw him. And instantly it stirred those verses in my heart. It was going back through my mind. And then later that evening, there was a brother from out of state text me those verses. Then the next morning, there was another brother from out of state, from Ohio, that texted me those verses. And those very verses, those three. And no one knew that the Lord had spoke those verses to my heart 3 days earlier. Well, then on Saturday morning, Brother Sally texts me from Indy. Sarah had been transferred to Indy that Friday morning. And so they went down there to be with her while we were up here with Lori and making funeral arrangements. Anyway, his text said, there's something for you under the computer countertop at the Ronald McDonald House. So my wife and I went over there to see what was there, to see what was there for us. We were expecting to see something sitting on the floor. There was nothing on the floor, so I'm looking around. By that time, I'm on my knees on the floor looking under the countertop. And a volunteer staff there asked if she could help us with something, if we're looking for something. So we told her that someone texted us and said they left something here for us under the countertop. She responded and said, "Oh, a treasure hunt." And then as I'm kneeling there on the floor looking under the countertop, I seen a sticker on the bottom side of the countertop. At first, I thought it was just a manufacturer sticker, but I looked a little closer, and it was these verses in Isaiah 43. I remember I said, "Yes, Lord, I get it. I trust you." But none of the brothers that had texted me, just a testimony on the persistence of God when he wants us to get something. None of the brothers that had texted me had known that the Lord had spoken them to me earlier, and Sally didn't know anything about it either. But they had done the cabinets in there a few years earlier, and I guess when they went to install the countertops, he felt inspired to stick those verses under the countertop, knowing that someday somebody might need them. So I share that to say that we serve a very faithful and persistent God. And so, my friend, if any of you are facing turbulent waters, hold on to hope in Jesus. He's a sure and steadfast anchor. And stand on the promises of God, firm in the faith. And you'll hear Jesus say, "Peace, be still." God bless you.